SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Cammeraygal people and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to. From the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water. Yiridimarang, hello, I'm your host Luana Grant and welcome to NITV Radio for this Friday, the 1st of August. Coming up on today's show, new data reveals the Northern Territory is the worst performing state or territory when it comes to closing the gap, with youth advocates condemning recent government reforms around incarceration and detention. And as Indigenous leaders gather on Yolngu country for this weekend's Garma Festival, we reflect on its powerful legacy and continuing mission to shape a better future for First Nations people. But coming up first is the news wrap of the week.
I am sorry.
The Uluru Dialogue has issued a strong statement ahead of the Garma Festival declaring enough is enough on closing the gap. It says progress has stalled and in some areas is going backwards. It blames government inaction, outdated bureaucracy and the ongoing exclusion of Indigenous voices. In a statement, the Uluru Dialogue says without a voice to Parliament, decisions are still being made without Indigenous input.
We continue to be sold the status quo as the solution. But how can we see any progress on closing the gap by doing more of the same? Our children are being locked up, our elders are dying, and our people are continuing to live in a country where their rights are neglected, their voices and calls for help falling on deaf ears.
Closing the Gap is a national plan to improve health, education and life expectancy for First Nations people, but only 4 of 19 targets are on track. The government is expected to have that progress. The group says that resonate with struggling communities. The Garma Festival runs from today, the 1st of August, to the 4th of August in northeast Arnhem Land on Yolngu Country. Independent Senator Lydia Thorpe has urged the government to set up an oversight body to ensure the 339 recommendations of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal deaths in custody are in place. Ms Thorpe told the Senate that there had been 441 First Nations deaths in custody since 2020.
This is not a partisan issue or one for states and territories alone. It is a national responsibility, a moral one. The Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody in 1991 made clear what needs to be done. Yet decades later, those recommendations remain largely unimplemented and ignored. Meanwhile, families continue to bury their loved ones.
Ms Thorpe also put forward a motion on extending sympathies to the families of the 17 First Nations people who have died in custody this year, including 24-year-old Walpri man Kumanjai White, who died in custody in Alice Springs in May. Labor and the Greens passed the motion. Northern Territory is in the worst position in progressing the Closing the Gap, according to the latest data from the Productivity Commission. It shows only 4 out of 19 national targets are on track to be met by 2031, and that in the Territory, the gap has increased on 8 targets, including youth detention and adult incarceration. Scott Wilson is the acting lead convener of the Coalition of Peaks, a community-based organisation responsible for working with governments to meet targets. He says there has been a lack of cooperation in working to meet the targets.
It's a responsibility of, you know, state and territory governments to sort of, you know, rethink about they actually signed up to these targets. They signed up to the national agreement. They sort of said that, you know, that they would work with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, i.e. through the Coalition of the Peaks, to actually address these horrendous outcomes. Unfortunately, they tend to be going back on their words.
Victoria's top Indigenous health group is demanding the state government urgently invest in Aboriginal-led custodial care after a coronial inquest found the death of an Aboriginal woman in custody was preventable. Heather Cal-Garrett was 10 weeks short of completing her prison sentence when she died in custody in 2021 after being administered a high dose of synthetic opioid in prison. Coroner Sarah Gerbert has found that the prison doctor at Dame Phyllis Frost Centre should not have administered the dose to the 30-year-old First Nations woman and failed to ensure she was monitored by medical staff. Ms. Calgarrett's sister says it's a devastating loss for the family.
She's just a giving person, full of love, and she couldn't wait to get out to see Mum and all the family and all the children. That was her main thing, the children. It does suck that she won't ever get to have that time again. The school's cut short for her.
Australia's big banks are due to hand back more than $60 million in unethical bank fees, while the Commonwealth Bank has opted not to refund $270 million in fees charged to disadvantaged customers. The national corporate regulator ASIC has issued a reprimand to banks for incorrectly charging customers on Centrelink and disability support payments. Westpac and Bendigo Bank have announced they will issue refunds to eligible customers, while CommBank said it will not give back the $270 million it charged low-income customers since the Royal Commission into bank misconduct 6 years ago. Bettina Cooper from Mobstrong Debt Help says this is a blow to First Nations people, as historically it was the Commonwealth Bank which set up branches in remote communities.
ASIC has released two reports. The banking code has changed. Does it really take a big stick for CBA to do the right thing? Shame on CBA, just shame. It is clear what they need to do. It is clear from the ASIC report. When will CBA do what's right for its vulnerable customers? Profiteering off your most vulnerable customers is not a good look.
Education Minister Jason Clare says his department is ready to crack down on underperforming childcare centres as the Senate debates the government's early childhood bill. The Greens tried to move an amendment to the bill in order to make early childhood education universal, while calling on the government to launch an independent national early childhood education and care commission. Labor and several Liberal senators voted against it. Mr. Clare says the Attorney General Department will hold meetings to review national and state checks on working with children.
The truth is there is no end to the work that we need to do, the Commonwealth Government and state governments, to help to make sure that our children are safe in early education and care. There is a mountain of work to do to rebuild the trust and the confidence in the system that parents need to have confidence in.
Attorney General Michelle Rowland has defended the Albanese government's decision to include YouTube in the under-16s social media ban. The government backflipped on their original plan to exempt YouTube from the ban, citing its educational resources, but has since decided to include the video sharing website while ensuring educators can still use school-approved content through their accounts. Speaking to Channel 9, Ms. Rowland says she has received fresh evidence from the eSafety Commissioner in June that found 70% of children had their most impactful harm from exposure to content on YouTube.
YouTube does have educational features. I know, you know, my daughter's learned number blocks there. Teachers will still be able to send links home that you can use if you need to. They'll be able to use their own account in the classroom. YouTube Kids still exists for when we do need our kids. There is a place for social media, obviously, but social media platforms have a social responsibility. And with a stat like 4 out of 10 kids experiencing online harm, as the Minister for Communications, I had to act.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese is travelling to the Northern Territory to attend Australia's largest Indigenous gathering. The Garma Festival is held over the next 4 days in remote northeast Arnhem Land on the land of the Yolngu people. Yothu Yindi Foundation hosts the Garma Festival, and the Foundation's Chief Executive Denise Bowden told NITV this year celebrates 25 years of the event.
I think when those Yunupingal men first hatched the Garma idea, I do think that they did understand it would be nationally significant, but maybe it needed some years to brew a little. Just imagine how incredibly difficult it is, given its very remote location and the logistics of barging supplies across to Gove. And I'm very pleased to say that the 25th anniversary, it really is quite an honour.
An interim report by Queensland's State Productivity Commission warns the city may fail to build the Olympic venues in time due to declining productivity. The report says productivity in the state has declined by 9% since 2018. It also warns that current best practice industry conditions on sites are adding to the cost of major projects, leading to delays. Despite the figure, the state's treasurer, David Jasensky, says the state government was up to the 2032 Games Challenge. Now in sport, veteran Wallabies player Nick White has announced his retirement from his professional rugby career at the end of 2025. The scrum half will play his last test rugby against British and Irish Lions this weekend in the number 9 jersey for his 73rd Wallabies cap. In a statement, Mr. White said he has made some lifelong friendships and had the opportunity to see the world through the sport. He added it felt like a right time for him to make way for young rugby players in the wake of the Rugby World Cup in 2027 in Australia. And that's NITV Radio News Wrap of the Week.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio. Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. As Indigenous leaders gather on Yolngu country for this weekend's Garma Festival, we reflect on the powerful legacy and continuing mission to shape a better future for First Nations peoples. That's coming up later in the show, but first, let's take a look at some top stories from the NITV news team. The Northern Territory is the worst performing jurisdiction in the country on closing the gap, new data has revealed. Youth advocates and experts have condemned a string of recent NT government reforms amid worsening progress on incarceration and youth detention. It comes as Indigenous leaders prepare to meet with the Prime Minister at the annual Garma Festival in northeast Arnhem Land this weekend.
The red dirt carpet rolled out, a quarter century long path towards improving Indigenous inequalities. But on the eve of celebrating 25 years of Garma, the latest Closing the Gap report paints a grim picture. Of 19 national targets, 4 continue to worsen. Among those, alarming suicide rates and incarceration rates. Just 4 are on track to be met by 2031. 6 are improving, but will still fall short, 4 not accessible, and 1 has shown no change from the baseline. Of particular concern, the Northern Territory. An emotional address from the member for Lingiari during a condolence motion for a recent death in custody in the NT.
This issue weighs heavily on me. As an Aboriginal person from the Northern Territory, these deaths have been catastrophic for my communities.
As parliamentarians, a greater focus of our work must be prevention and early intervention. To deliver change, you need to do the hard stuff. That's why the gap is not closing.
Now halfway through the 10-year agreement, coalition of peak Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations who are responsible for working with state and federal governments to meet targets, criticising a lack of cooperation.
It's the community-controlled organisations that are doing all the heavy lifting, and governments are just sitting back sometimes and not sort of coming to the party or coming on that journey with us in the true spirit of what partnership and what the national agreement was about.
The NT is the worst position, with the gap increasing on 8 targets, including youth detention and adult incarceration.
There's 3 words: cruel, ineffective, and ignorant. In the frame of the Closing the Gap Agreement, it is the jurisdiction that shows the least adherence to its commitment under Closing the Gap.
Since coming to power last August, the NT Country Liberal Government has implemented a tough-on-crime policy agenda, including strict new bail laws and lowering the age of criminal responsibility to 10.
What we're doing is thinking about the criminalised response to dealing with an issue.
This week, the NT government introduced a sweeping youth justice overhaul, reviving the use of spit hoods and abolishing the principle that detention be a last resort. It says a tough-on-crime approach is needed to reduce crime, improving public safety and deliver a better lifestyle and stronger economy.
They're working against the very commitments that they've made. They're ignoring the advice from experts and from community. This is something that we should all be concerned about.
Those concerns raised as calls grow from health, legal and justice experts to have the federal government step in the Northern Territory on youth justice, pressure that's expected to mount here at Garma in the coming days with Indigenous and political leaders expected from tomorrow. Emma Kellaway, NITV News.
The Senate has passed a condolence motion for the family and community of Kumanjai White, a 24-year-old disabled Walpri man who died after being restrained by police at an Alice Springs supermarket. The motion was put forward by independent Senator Lydia Thorpe, and it also noted that 17 First Nations people have died in police custody so far this year. The motion called on all politicians to work towards reducing the over-incarceration of Indigenous people and deaths in custody.
I came into this place with this message stick of 441 deaths in custody. When I entered this building as a politician, 441 markings. Now it's 602. When does it end?
Tributes are flowing for veteran Indigenous rights campaigner and lawyer Paul Coe, who passed away aged 76. The Wiradjuri elder helped establish the New South Wales Aboriginal Legal Service. He led a battle for Wiradjuri sovereignty all the way to the High Court. While the case was unsuccessful, it paved the way for the Mabo case. He was also involved in the 1972 10 Embassy protests in Canberra. Growing up at Arambi Aboriginal Mission at Cowra, he became the first Aboriginal person to study law at the University of New South Wales. Australia's peak Indigenous health body and the Royal Australian Air Force have renewed a partnership which will see Air Force personnel work with healthcare providers in remote communities. The National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation, or NACHO, re-signed its Memorandum of Understanding with the Air Force last week. Part of the agreement includes Exercise Commando, which sees local leaders guide Air Force teams to support community-led health initiatives and assist with essential infrastructure.
Being a part of Exercise Commando has been really rewarding for myself as an Indigenous woman in the Air Force. Coming from a remote community as well, I think it's really important that, you know, being here and giving back to the community and being so close to where my father's from, very special to me.
The nation's biggest Indigenous cultural festival, Garma, is set to be held in Arnhem Land this weekend. It's the 25th year of Garma, and in the lead-up, NITV News is meeting inspiring Yolngu locals and learning about culture. Let's take a look at some local bush medicine.
So much have looked after this country for many thousands of years, and often we bring our young ones to these areas that they can feel what the nature is offering them in knowledge about the land, the water, the country, and everything else that surrounds us. The reeds you see over there, they are called rakai. And that's one of the healing medicine that is put on sona when it's done in the traditional way. The paper bark, rangan, laid over the sauna on top of the rakai. Many of these stories that we hear from old people pass now to the young generation are stories like healing, like medicine to the mind, spirit and soul. You know, this is a women's area and it's a very special area for women especially. But we allow the men to also pass on the knowledge to the young men by bringing them here and make the young ones work and get to know the country. When I was growing up, my mom and grandmas taught me how to know this, and growing up knowing it, it was one of the things that I never want to lose.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. The Northern Territory is the worst performing jurisdiction in the country on closing the gap, as new data has revealed. Youth advocates and experts have condemned a string of recent NT government reforms amid worsening progress on incarceration and youth detention. It comes as Indigenous leaders prepare to meet with the Prime Minister at the annual Garma Festival in northeast Arnhem Land this weekend.
The latest annual data is in on the progress made in improving the lives of First Nations Australians across 19 indicators. The fifth annual report released by the Productivity Commission shows only 4 of the targets are on track to be met in the areas of preschool enrolment, employment, and land and water rights. There's been improvement in 6 targets, including life expectancy, healthy birth weights, year 12 or equivalent qualifications, youth engagement, and appropriately sized housing. Scott Wilson is the deputy co-convener for the Coalition of the Peaks, which represents 800 First Nations community groups.
It means that governments need to sort of step up. They said they would. Productivity Commission and the recent Indigenous-led review of the Close the Gap agenda basically all said the same things. That it's the community-controlled organisations that are doing all the heavy lifting, and governments are just sitting back sometimes and not sort of coming to the party or coming on that journey with us in the true spirit of what partnership and what the national agreement was about.
He says there's been a tremendous amount of work done over the last 5 years since a new national agreement was signed, allowing the Coalition of Peaks to co-design the Closing the Gap framework to turbocharge progress.
It is a huge leap. For example, in South Australia, up until just recently, we didn't have a Aboriginal community-controlled housing association. We've now just signed a 5-year agreement with South Australian Housing Trust to establish one. National agreement runs for another 5 years. You know, the hope is that by the time we get to the end of that 5 years, Aboriginal people on community, urban or rural and regional, will now have services that didn't exist before. Governments will have transformed how they fund Aboriginal programs and services to community control.
National, state and territory governments are all part of delivering the targets in the agreement, and elections that result in changed policies can stall and even reduce progress. Mr. Wilson says that's particularly the case with the return to so-called Get Tough on Crime policies that increase Indigenous incarceration rates. Despite representing just 3% of Australia's population, First Nations Australians are overrepresented in the prison system, accounting for 36% of all adult prisoners. Treasurer Jim Chalmers says there's room for the federal government to do better.
We need to acknowledge when we see these numbers
that even with all of this goodwill, even with all of these resources, we're not making enough progress. We're making some progress, but not enough progress. But from the government's point of view, we can always do more and we can always do better.
The latest report shows the Northern Territory is the worst performing jurisdiction. It comes as the newly elected NT's Country Liberal government moves to reintroduce a range of tougher youth crime measures, including reinstating the use of spit hoods on young people in youth detention centres. Indigenous rights advocate Thomas Mayo says the measure goes against the advice of experts and is likely to cause further harm.
The Northern Territory government, elected last year, are going backwards on this. They're working against the very commitments that they've made. They're ignoring the advice from experts and from community. And that key way of closing the gap, just firstly by listening to community and what they've got to say, have been met with complete ignorance by the Northern Territory government. And this is something that we should all be concerned about.
The Labor member for Lingiari in the Northern Territory, Marion Scrimger, broke down in tears during a condolence motion that was passed in the Federal Senate chamber. The motion paid tribute to the 17 Indigenous deaths in custody this year, including 24-year-old Walpri man Kumanji White, who died in May after being restrained by officers at an Alice Springs supermarket.
This issue weighs heavily on me. As an Aboriginal person from the Northern Territory, these deaths have been catastrophic for my communities. As a mother, as a grandmother, these deaths have weighed heavily on my communities.
There have been 602 deaths in the last 34 years since 1991, when the final report was released from the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, outlining 339 recommendations. The Productivity Commission's latest report comes on the eve of Australia's largest Indigenous gathering, the Garma Festival, in the NT in remote northeast Arnhem Land. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese will be among political leaders attending. Denise Bowden is the chief executive of the Yothu Yindi Foundation, which hosts the Garma Festival, marking its 25th anniversary this year. She says she hopes the event is a catalyst for change.
So the theme this year is Law of the Land, Standing Firm, and it does really talk to what has been a long legacy piece of work for Yolngu people's rights to determine their own native title. It's a real empowerment story, and a lot of people, a lot of our leaders in the past have fought for self-determination and really being able to empower ourselves for our fight for land rights. And this year's High Court win by the Gumatj people is an extraordinary win. It's unique.
The High Court in March ruled the Gumatj clan was eligible for compensation for mining on their land decades ago. The judgment has been described as one of the most significant tests of native title since the Mabo ruling in 1992. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.
Conversation on radio, online, and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online, and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. The very first Garma Festival was held just before the turn of the millennium in 1999, led by the late Yunupingu. But the mission of its founders remains to be a cross-cultural meeting of leaders to discuss improving standards of living for all First Nations people. Emma Kellaway looks at a small slice of what Garma is today.
Each year, the Yolngu leaders welcome guests to the sacred grounds known as Gulkula, an invitation to experience a cultural exchange like no other.
Music and dance and art, song, a love of learning of a different culture. It's a really healthy platform upon which we can get through some challenging discussions.
The annual event was conceived by the Yothu Yindi Foundation with the aim of improving standards of living for all First Nations people.
We have hope for the future, and I believe in a world that is better than the past.
It started as a small-scale event in 1999. Today, celebrating its 25th year, Garma attracts around 2,500 people from across the globe.
And I would never have thought it to grow to such an extent that it has now. And we're very, very fortunate to be able to, you know, take 4 days to share with the rest of the nation how important Garma's journey has become.
Oh, thank you.
Guests experience a rich cultural immersion, from weaving workshops to wood carving. Traditional art, music and dance is the heartbeat of the four-day festivities. But more than that, Garma is a cornerstone for First Nations politics.
It's really enjoyable. It's uplifting.
The word Garma means two-way learning process in Yolngu Martha. The Garchimbal Auditorium is a key location, a space where politicians, academics and community leaders highlight and discuss key issues.
We will not abandon substance for symbolism or retreat to platitudes at the expense of progress.
Well attended by political leaders past and present, moving and shaking on politics of the day is key to the agenda.
We need to find the one thing that we do have common ground in, and that's the challenge for me.
The sounds of the bilma, or clapsticks, echo through the leaves of the surrounding stringy bark forest. Each evening brings an eruption of movement on the sands of the sacred Bungul site, a ceremonial close to the day's proceedings. Music and dancing continues throughout the night as many make the most of the magic of Garma.
And that's all we have time for on today's program. NITV Radio will be back next week with more stories from right across the country. I'm your host, Luana Grant Mundungor. Thanks so much for joining me and have a great day.